The difference between attending to Krishna Katha and listening to stories is very significant. We have described in the preceding lectures, which came before the Krishna Katha, that by listening to Krishna Katha from the right sources, like the Bhagavatam as it is revealed by the Acharyas, Krishna enters through the pathway of the ears into the heart. This method is called Shrutekshita, or seeing by hearing. Another profound difference which makes listening to Krishna Katha immediately into a sadhana is that these words are impregnated by Krishna with a certain potency to awaken Krishna consciousness in the heart, which cannot be claimed by ordinary storytelling. We also have learned that when we listen, we need to make that into a service, a devotional service, a practice of devotional service, by doing three types of listening. One is we need to hear with faith. The second is we need to do it regularly. And the third quality, which we must bring into this bundle if we want the effect to happen, is that we must do this with svacheshtitam, the Bhagavatam says, with an effort, the effort to be attentive or to be in rapt attention. All the conditioned souls suffer from a great anatomic anomaly. You have to somehow navigate your way through my heavy German accent. We have a hole, a Krishna-shaped hole in our heart. And if we don't learn to fill this absence of Krishna with Krishna, there is a great misery there. Krishna is compared to the sun, and if the sun of Krishna does not rise in our heart, there will be avidya, the darkness of avidya, the darkness of ignorance. After the sun, Krishna, left the world, Uddhava gives us a little description what that darkness feels like, the darkness which comes when Krishna is absent in our life, that you could call it that inner darkness of the heart. He says he met with Vidura, and he had just returned from Krishna's lotus feet. Uddhava had just returned from Krishna's lotus feet as he was preparing to leave this world. And a little later, when Uddhava had left, Krishna actually left. And Uddhava describes his experience. He says, "My dear Vidura, the sun of the world, Sri Krishna, has set, and our house has now been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare?" I can't say that I'm good, you know. Uddhava was able to express that inner darkness, but we have become so accustomed to it that we may not notice it any longer. Like maybe the whole world sees that someone has no nose and his ears have melted away due to leprosy, but the leper himself doesn't notice that anything is wrong, and he thinks about the next meal, and he has become so accustomed to his disease, and because he has forgotten what it means to walk freely. He doesn't. He has accommodated himself with the disease. So we also have, unfortunately, due to forgetfulness, we don't often experience this our separation from Krishna as such a misery. But Uddhava, he can tell this, and he says that he has lost his vision and is wandering about blinded by darkness. He says, "I cannot tell my direction, nor can I find any peace." So when the heart has suffers this inner darkness, at that time life becomes confused and miserable. Now, how to cure this? When Krishna left the world and in utter darkness by his disappearance, he took on what Jiva Goswami calls a pratinidhi rupa. That is a form, a rupa, which would be representing him fully. And that form is the Bhagavad Purana. It is the representative embodiment of Krishna. The first embodiment of Krishna is in talks about him, when devotees talk about him. And the second embodiment is in a written form, as a book Bhagavatam, which can be venerated and worshipped by the followers of Krishna. No? So, two forms Krishna takes as a representative embodiment of himself. Discussions done amongst devotees, like it was done in the forest of Naimisharanya or at the banks of the Ganga, when Sutta and Shukadev Goswami spoke to an assembly of pure-hearted souls, then Krishna's presence could be felt. But Krishna's presence can also be felt in the written words, which are empowered with his presence. In the Bhagavatam, this hearing from the written form, you know, which we will do very soon, we will follow the verses of the Bhagavatam and go through this Govardhan Leela. This is described. Yasyam vaishruyamanayam Krishna paramapuruṣe bhakti utpadyate pungsa shoka moha bayapaha. This is a verse from the first canto. It says what we can experience when we listen to the Bhagavatam. And I request you during this session to see if you can feel the effect of Krishna's embodied form, representative of Krishna's representative embodiment. That's the direct translation of pratinidhi rupa, no? Representative embodiment. You can test for yourself if this happens. The verse says, simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, huh? You have to receive the text like you receive a guest in the house of your ear. You receive it, receive the Bhagavatam. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling for loving devotional service for Lord Krishna immediately sprouts up in the heart and extinguishes at once the fire of lamentation, illusion, and fearfulness. So I request you to see in when the session is over, and also after Buridhan Prabhu's session, if you feel more inclined to serve Krishna, and if you also feel less inclined to lament, and you have no fear and no illusions. These are the effects which happen when we do the sadhana of listening to the sacred scripture. Or in another text in the Bhagavatam, it says, Ishvara sadyo hrityavarudyate. No? As soon as one attentively, mark this quality, attentively and submissively means with shraddhaya, with faith, huh? Hears the message of Bhagavatam, the Supreme Lord is at once captured within the core of the heart. Mm-hmm. You can see the consistency in the Bhagavatam in describing the sadhana of Shravanam. It says, either you must hear attentively and submissively, or it expresses it like this, svacheshtitam, you must make an effort to be attentive, or shraddhaya, with faith. No, it's very submissive. The instructions about the sadhana are very clear so that we can understand. Here, here, this is how to do it. If you want to experience Krishna, even after he has disappeared, if you want to escape the overwhelming darkness in the heart, the inner darkness which manifests in this lamentation and illusion and fear, no, if you want to escape this, then here, here, listen, listen to the Bhagavatam with these attributes, these qualities. The sadhana of hearing goes ideally, according to the Upanishads, through three stages. We have written them down for you here. The first stage is Shravana. You just hear the text without any other job than just hearing attentively. Shravana. This is compared in another tradition, you know, these are universal truths, with just taking a meal inside. When you eat a meal, your job is just to orally receive the potato or the sweet ball. Here, when you listen, you have to not orally, but what is this? Or I'm getting mixed up with the English. Can someone help me? Oral? Oral. Oh, this is very, very complex English. When you eat, you orally receive. When you hear, you audible receive. You know what I mean. One goes through the mouth, the other through the ear. This is what you do in the beginning when the text comes. Then you need, and this is absolutely absent in our Hare Krishna movement, to do manaha. It's not absent in all quarters, but I have more stress required, more emphasis needs to be put on this. You must reflect afterwards what you have heard. This is like chewing, is an example of chewing on the potato or the olives. It's important if you want that this comes into your whole being, you must actually do manaha, reflect about it. And finally, the last stage is nididhyasana, which means, literally translated, deep meditation. It means also in our tradition to apply it and then learn it. This is like digesting the text. Only when you digest the text can you actually here derive the strength out of it. Now, this is an Upanishadic tradition, and it is done since time immemorial in Indian learning, which is done a lot from text. Many other tradition, for instance, Christianity have made a practice out of it called prayerful reading. But whoever is a tradition, I have heard in Islam there's also something like this, these steps. You can express it in different ways, but you have to go through these three steps. And today we will do an exercise after having heard the text in these three steps.
Good.
But the Vaishnavas add a fourth step. Very important. Yes, the Vaishnavas think about it, and yes, the Vaishnavas go either in deep meditation or they apply the teachings, but they add prayers to it. My dear Lord, please manifest this knowledge in my heart. Without the help of Krishna, this knowledge will not blossom in the heart. So, I wish that you test this Krishna Katha again by seeing if the effect is there. If you do these things and the effect is not there, then you should never again come to a lecture of Satchinandan Swami, because that means I'm a very bad speaker or presenter. But then go for another good speaker. The effect must come. You must be free from lamentation, illusion, and fear. In other words, your path, which was previously covered by darkness, when you're stumbling around on a dark path, you will lament and be in illusion and fear ultimately that you will step your toe with your toe on a thorn or whatever. If you hear the Bhagavatam, then it becomes clear your path, free, and you can dance on your path. You can go. Good.
So, Hare Krishna. We ended yesterday by describing how Indra became very, very disturbed. So disturbed that like a lion who roars at a mosquito, it makes a total fool out of himself. He attacked the small tract of Braj, very small tract of land, with the clouds and the winds which are used when the universe is destroyed. We heard about this, and we heard the effect on Braj. Braj was overcome by an Andhata Mishra, it's said in the text. That is a deepest darkness. No one could see each other. No one could find the way. Eventually, it was not possible any longer to distinguish between mountains and valleys. Everything was flooded. The cows cried grievously, because they tried to protect their innocent calves from this, attack of Indra, but it was not possible. Everyone screamed. There was absolute chaos for a little moment, and then all of Braj did one thing. Who remembered what they did? Krishna, yes, you know, thank you very much for remembering this important thing. They took shelter, ashraya, in Krishna by loudly calling, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga,
Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga,
Tvanatham,
Gokulam Prabho,
Tratum Ahasi,
Devanna,
Kupitat, Bhaktavatsala. You are Bhaktavatsala, Krishna, the friend of your devotees, and Mahabhago, you are very strong. Please now protect the cows of Gokula and us who are your devotees. It is described when Krishna heard this anxious plea of his devotees for help. He took his lotus eyes, which are very beautiful, Aravinda Netram, and he looked up to the sky like this, like a child would look up who wants to find out the cause of the distress. And he saw these pitch black clouds from which these pillars of rain fell down to destroy Braj. And then he said to him something. It's more like thinking, but he said it to himself. No one heard it. And it's a very important sentence. This must be the work of angry Indra, who thinks himself to be supreme. The devatas are actually naturally in the mode of goodness, and false pride should not afflict them. I will break this false prestige to bring Indra relief from this terrible disease. Then he reflected to himself some more about, and from this you will know the mind of God. He says, when I break the false pride of those who are bereft of goodness, my only purpose is to bring them relief. Therefore, I will not crush Indra completely. Krishna does this to all of his devotees, my dear devotees. We are meant to be in a serene state of mind, clear like a lake. This is how the Bhagavatam describes the condition of the mind. It's originally sattvic, but it becomes so much influenced in a rajasic and tamasic way. And when this influence is felt, we feel stress or distress. This is the effect of rajas and tamas. Stress or just despondency. So, Krishna brings relief to his devotees by doing something to crush their pride without crushing them. Who of you have experienced this work of Krishna on your own heart, that your pride was crushed, but you are still alive? I think it's a little embarrassing to show. I think we all have made this experience, because it's Krishna's ongoing quality. He does want to bring relief by driving out the passion and the tama which comes over us, and bring us to this state of goodness again, which has gone. And then he said, I will now protect the cowherd community by all of my transcendental potency. Actually, he only said, by my transcendental potency. For I am their shelter.
their master.
And indeed, they are my own family. They are mine.
After all, I have taken a vow to protect my devotees. Krishna reflected like this. I've taken this vow. And we know in the Gita, it's written down for eternity, you know. I protect my devotees. And Krishna reflected some more. Krishna had this very deep thoughts, and we should thank Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur for allowing us this private insight into what really goes on in Krishna's heart. He says, I have not only vowed to protect these people who are extremely close to me, but I protect all people, everyone without exception. You might now say, well, what? Krishna protects the Kamis? Yes, my dear devotees, please listen. At the time of total annihilation, you call this Mahapralaya. That is when nothing in the universe stands, when everything is cut by the terrible annihilation. At that time, Krishna is the only shelter for the living entities because they get again absorbed in the form of Mahavishnu, and as they enter this, Mahavishnu glows a little bit more. His light increases because also many more jivas are in there, and they wait there for the next manifestation of the next creation, when again they issue forth from the body of the Lord. So everyone comes when they give up their gross body. They continue to live in the abdomen of Narayan in their subtle bodies. Now, after thinking like this, I will relieve Indra from the misery of his pride, and I will protect my people. Krishna speaks out loud in a voice as sweet as honey. Those of you who are singers of kirtan, I want to give you a recipe. When your voice cracks and doesn't work, you should swallow madhuvani. This is an Ayurvedic remedy. Madhuvani means honey sweet voice, and it really works like this. You take a spoon and jup, your voice is like that of a cuckoo in springtime. So Krishna speaks always without Madhuvani, because he has the Madhuvani. speaks in a honey-sweet voice, which is filled with affection. He consoled his family and his friends, and he said, there is no need for you to be afraid. This trouble which we see is as insignificant as the hunger, the pain of hunger for someone who has just consumed a sumptuous feast. You know, after a feast you have a little hunger sometimes. It's actually only the illusion of hunger. It's acidity which has built up. And it's an insignificant. It is not life-threatening, that hunger when you have eaten so much. So it's nothing, said Krishna. Anyone practicing devotional service can easily remove all the anattas. And you know, one is fear. For your benefit, I will now enact a special pastime. And Krishna must have taken a little, like, assuring posture. I will enact now a special pastime through which I will break the mountain of pride of Indra. You know, and this was just what the Brajavasis needed to hear. Krishna had accepted
their prayer. And this time when Krishna spoke, according to some, he was at the porch of his house. And he swiftly began to run to Govardhan. At the same time, one of his shaktis, it's called the Samhariki Shakti, it's a partial expansion of Yoga Maya, you know. His Samhariki Shakti expanded and temporarily removed all the rain from the sky, so that not even one raindrop fell on Krishna's turban. Not even one. You know, before, this is quite something. It was really like a pillar of rain had come, a total devastation. But the Samhariki potency is so powerful that it could remove all the rain. And this should bring to you something. Krishna could have done anything to remove the problem. Just with his Shakti alone he could have done it. But he chose to lift Giriraj, to glorify Giriraj. We heard that he lifted him and he held his hand like a mudra, which is used to worship a superior personality. So he made that mudra to show, here, look at Giriraj, how wonderful he is. He's my best servant. Look at him. Give him honor and respect. In this way, Krishna dealt with Indra in a very special way. He used the weapon of ignoring. When you have a proud person, the best weapon is ignoring him. When people talk bad about you and you don't want to get entangled, the best way is to ignore the insults, because only that's the fastest way how they will go also. Away. So Indra, he did not address Indra. He could have said, hey Indra, come down, let us deal with you now. No. He let him go on wielding his so-called Shakti and doing a special pastime. Without even tightening his cloth, you know, which you do when you wrestle against an opponent, Krishna just quickly ran to Giriraj. However, there was a great obstacle. Also, God has obstacle. The obstacle of love. The Sakas forbade him. They said, don't go there, Syam. This is very dangerous. Just don't move. No, sir, Krishna, I'm just going. I will lift Giriraj to use him as an umbrella against that rain. And the Sakas began to laugh. You want to lift Giriraj? You are small. Giriraj is very big. Krishna said, no, please let me go. No. Your mother said to us, you don't know your own limits, and now we can see it very clearly with our own eyes. Then Krishna, under which circumstances would you let me go? And the Sakas said, if you prove your power. So Krishna at that time looked at a first-class Kadamba tree. It's a big, big tree at that time, which had a big branch like this. And then he thought, I will do something so that I can use this tree again. You know, I don't want to be rude to him. So he just twisted the branch like this, making the branch into a perfect thing to fasten a swing for later pastimes with his Sakas, you know, making it straight like this. And then his Sakas said, That was not bad, Siam. You can go now.
So Krishna ran. He, after all, needs to protect his people now. And by his potency, a tunnel began to manifest under the Govardhan tree, Govardhan mountain. And then he lifted him up like this. Now, when Krishna lifted Giriraj, Giriraj made a loud sound, and I want to read to you directly from this work, Ananda Vrindavan Chandra, so that you know how it was. The lifting of Govardhan Hill produced an angry, loud noise. I don't want to scare the pregnant mothers. The lifting of Govardhan Hill produced an angry, loud noise that crushed the pride of the elephants guarding the eight directions. That furious sound. It sounded more spiritual, huh? That furious sound roamed around and around within the covering of the universe. The sound had enough intelligence, that's an intelligent sound, to win a wager on whether it would break the long meditation of Brahma on Brahma Loka. That sound dared to interrupt the uproarious Madhvika wine-drinking festival of the old ladies on Patala Loka. To make it more clear, in the hellish planets, very down in the universe, there were some old ladies who were drinking wine and gossiping and laughing. Ha 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 ha! You know, but that sound was so loud that it reached even there. And they became silent for once. This was this was seeing the Leela from one perspective, an angry loud sound, but now we will see it from another perspective. The flowers falling from the trees appeared to be the form of Giriraj's ecstatic laughter due to being touched by Krishna's lotus hand. Have you ever been tickled? Someone tickles? I heard you cannot tickle yourself and laugh, but someone can tickle you. And then you laugh. So Giriraj felt so ecstatic that Krishna's lotus hand touched him that flowers fell like laughter, which falls out of the mouth of someone down. Those falling flowers, which came from Giriraj and scattered all over, seemed to be Giriraj's own celebration at the destruction of Indra's fame. And then it is described how Giriraj became higher and higher, and his the peaks scratched through the clouds, and the lions who lived on top of Giriraj, they took their pawns and they just stroke at the clouds. All these are poetic descriptions which show no problem. The strength in Braj is superior to Indra's strength. And this is why such a Kavi Kanapur describes it like this. The Bhagavatam summarizes, Lord Krishna, who is Vishnu himself, picked up the Govardhan Hill with one hand and held it aloft just as easily as a child holds up a mushroom. So I request you to take a minute to just reflect about what you have heard. You remember, Shravana, you have heard now. Now it's time for you to chew. Only we will only choose a minute and do this alone. Later I will give you group exercises. Thank you very much. Then the Lord called out. He was standing alone. He called out from underneath the hill. O Mother, O Father, O residents of Braj, you may now come under this hill together with all the cows. But the Brijbasis, this is a very surprising answer they gave, said, no, Krishna. You know, how can we all fit under this hill, and is it safe? For the Brijbasis, Krishna was just their darling, the darling of Braj, the crown jewel of their eyes. Even when they saw right before their eyes Krishna's Aishwarya, or majestic potency, for them this surprised them for a moment, but after some time they would think, oh, is it safe for Krishna? You know, and they just could not conceive of anything which would make Krishna place him into the position of God. Ultimately, their love didn't permit it, because they wanted to be close to him. And God, you always stand with a respectful distance. You don't smell his head if he is safe. But see, Krishna says, no, don't worry. See, Govardhan can give shelter to the whole world. He's so powerful. And the explanation behind this is that because Giriraj was touched by the lotus hand of Krishna, he felt so much ecstasy that he expanded into a much larger form. Everywhere from his trees, which started to instantaneously blossom, flowers fell down. Please look behind you. Do you see these beautiful red flowers on the tree? And there are much more beautiful flowers on the trees in Giriraj, and they fell down, building a carpet, really, for everyone to walk. And Giriraj for himself felt that, yes, there were these lightning bolts which Indra threw at him, but he thought, well, I have Krishna. And he felt them as pleasant as offerings of flowers. This is happening when you are in love. Even difficulties seem to be no problem. There is a stage of love of Godhead where which is described that even the difficulties which you undertake in your service to Krishna become no longer difficulties at all. You just don't perceive it. I remember I spoke with devotees who were in Sarajevo when the streets
were guarded by Serbian snipers. Snipers means people who shoot from a hidden place. It was very dangerous, and I remember I was at that time in Macedonia, and I saw what is called reality TV. You know, that is, there is a camera which shows you what happens. And I saw a Serbian street and people walking over it, and all of a sudden snipers came, and the bullets of snipers came and killed like 50 people. I saw this and I said, turn the TV the other direction. I was just sitting on my place, and there was the reality TV before me, and after this I would go on TV and on the air, and I just couldn't see it. But I remember interviewing the devotees in Sarajevo who were at that time distributing food for life, prasadam. You know, they grew the tomatoes in their own corridors of their apartments. You know, it was really a difficult time. Water was a rare commodity, which was not to be wasted in showering. You know, you had to drink whatever you could get from rain and so on. But if you asked, I asked them, how was it difficult? They said, Maharaj, it was the most blissful time in my life. Because they were engaged in service. And they were protected by Krishna. And the difficulties which one takes up in service, if it is doing service, turn into flower offerings, you know. So Giriraj was also in service. While he was struck by these terrible lightning bolts, he was in ecstasy. He felt it as flowering flowers of love. Even the animals who lived on Giriraj, like deer, wild hawks, and birds, simply climbed on Giriraj to be higher to the clouds. They didn't feel any inconvenience, because whatever is touched by Krishna is just blissful. If your life is touched by Krishna, my dear devotees, if there is only a little, one name we heard yesterday, one name which you can hear, your life is blissful. The life is miserable only in the absence of Krishna. So Krishna said to the Brijvasis, don't be afraid that this mountain will fall from my hand. Don't be afraid even of the wind and the rains. I have made appropriate arrangements. So you might ask, what are Krishna's arrangements? I mean, this is heavy. This is the destruction of the universe, the same force acting. Well, by the Supreme Lord's Icha Shakti, I will explain what that is. The water which fell on Giriraj and fell to the side could not come under Giriraj and sweep everyone away, because it was dried up immediately. You might ask, what is that Icha Shakti? It's to translate it very simply, it's the willpower. If Krishna wills something, if he only wants something, it's done. In this case, Sudarshan Chakra manifested and dried everything away. And the second arrangement was, when Krishna lifted Giriraj, big clumps of earth fell from Giriraj and built. He's very artistic, you know. He lifted it in such a way that they fell and built a very strong boundary wall so that no water which had come to the left and right and east and west could come under Giriraj and create an inconvenient situation. the Brijvasis were convinced. My God, yes. Krishna, you have spoken truthfully. You have made the arrangement. Just wait a second. We are coming. So they loaded their possessions on their carts and came with their dependents, such as their servants and their priests. Their servants and priests underneath the hill. And there they saw that it didn't look as you think it will look, like earth which has been dug up, you know. No. It didn't look chaotic at all. My dear devotees, there were little palaces for the Brijbasis to live in. Then there were huge fields of very good barley. That's what the cows like to eat. And crystal clear lakes. And the cows just stayed on the edge of the town, which Krishna created, a township, a big township. And just drank that crystal clear water and ate that barley and just mooed very happily. Govinda, that name they didn't know at that time. The name Govinda comes much later. Krishna. But it is a peculiar detail that not a single Brijbasi went into these palaces which Krishna had created for them, because they had something better to do. They wanted to just stare at Krishna. You must know, every morning Krishna leaves the town of Braj to go for 8 long hours, which are like kalpas for those who remain back, into the forest of Vrindavan for cow herding. But now he was standing there and he was not going anywhere. So all the Brijbasis, do you think they went into their houses and said, wow, look at this bathroom with water. Wow, look at this. You know, Sridham, look, this bed is very nice. Let's try it out. No. They just surrounded Krishna and looked at Krishna. The Vishnu Purana says they were simply amazed by the beauty of the Lord. They were amazed. How can he be so beautiful? And out of loving affection, they opened their eyes wide, like doors, you know. Come, you, when the guest comes, you open the door very wide. Come. So they opened the doors of their eyes very wide to receive Krishna. They simply had no hunger, no thirst or fatigue. And also Krishna, when he saw it, was reciprocal. As he was standing there and everyone was around him for a long time, you know, for 7 days and 7 nights this continued. Krishna didn't move for 7 days and 7 nights. You couldn't hear his ankle bells any longer, which you hear always in Braj. He never is still. But Krishna was just there, and there was a reason why he was not moving. He looked at the beauty of the gopis and he was stunned, just like his devotees were stunned and amazed and surprised when they looked at him and his beauty. Krishna was amazed and made immobile when he looked at the beauty of his devotees. I would like you now to close your eyes. It's very important that you do this. And under no circumstances, well, anyways, if I say something which you shouldn't do, you will do it for sure. So just close your eyes. We will have a little meditation now.
Mm-hmm.
I request you to just in your mind's eye see this scene. Krishna is standing, has a beautiful yellow dhoti. His eyes are wide opened. He looks full of joy at his devotees. And his devotees look at his form. They forget eating, drinking, and sleeping. Outside, the rain is falling like pillars of water. It's really loud. It's thundering. But everyone is just looking at Krishna. There's absolutely no feeling of any misery. You can open your eyes. There was a festival of bliss under the hill. Only one person was in complete anxiety. That person was Mother Yashoda, who thought Krishna overworks. For 7 days, he carries the mountain without moving. Krishna assured him, "Mother, there cannot be anything more fun than holding Giriraj. Why are you worried about me? Just see, the great mount of Govardhan is floating on his own in the open sky. Didn't I tell you before that this body of mine is but an instrument of his will?" But Mother Yashoda, see her love, countered, "O intelligent one, I believe what you say only and if Govardhan gives up the association of your lotus hand and flies around in the sky playing on his own. Otherwise, as long as he doesn't do that, I know that you must suffer terribly." Then Madhu Mangal said, "O Queen of Vrindavan, don't you know that this great mountain is sitting on the lotus hand of Krishna by the strength of my mantras and my special Brahminical powers? Don't doubt the Brahmanas." But Yashoda is not in a mood of arguing. He says, "O impudent one, what kind of nonsense are you speaking? I'm burning in anxiety over my son. And now you come here in this dangerous circumstance and laugh and joke." But Nanda Maharaj said, "O Devi, he is right. Krishna cannot possibly lift the hill on his own. He is small. It must be some Brahminical powers which are at work. Maybe Madhu Mangal." Meanwhile,
The Brijbasis stood around Giridhari, simply admiring the sweetness of his transcendental form. And what they saw is so nice. They saw how his right heel, you know, Krishna takes his right leg over his left leg, and his right heel was facing upward like this, whereas his left foot seemed to kiss the earth. His strong left arm was holding the mountain, while the thumb of his right hand was nonchalantly stuck in the red waist cloth, which was wrapped over the golden dhoti, you know. He wanted to say, it's no problem. See, I'm very relaxed. I don't even take both arms. One finger is enough. It's not a problem. His hips, and this is what the gopis perceived, had three beautiful lines, one above the other. And there was a little moisture in them. The pollen from the blue lotus flowers, which he had put over his ear, had fallen by now on his cheek. And this looked so beautiful. And Krishna was so happy. He was in a merry mood and he looked over his people. He was happy. He saw them all assembled at once. He was just so grateful, and his loving eyes was just full of moisture, and he smiled so kindly, and the Brijbasis, they just looked. But one very thoughtful Brijbasi, he noted something. He said, the swans of Krishna's ankle bells, which wobble all day, are now silent. I think they are absorbed in deep meditation about Krishna's lotus feet. I think. So you must know that there is one characteristic of our Krishna which endears him so much to the heart of his devotees. Up to now he's looking just, and it's just one loving festival, but Krishna loves variety. And he, the quality is, he's very playful. So all of a sudden, in the midst of this very, very devotional scene, loving scene, he just takes his hand and takes out his flute and starts to play on his flute. Madhu Mangal, he presses the flute against his lip, and as he makes this sound, you know, all the Brijbasis just laugh and go in jubilation. He plays music now. But Madhu Mangal says, friend, this is not the time for your musical concert. Concentrate. Don't be so daring. Be with your task. How will you protect your friends today if Giriraj should become ecstatic from hearing the sweet melodies of your flute and then shake and fall from your hands? Your flute has the power to destroy everything. Don't you know this by now? Simply by hearing it, Giriraj could turn into a river and just flow from your hand. Because your flute turns mountains into rivers and rivers into stones. I want to say something about the nature of this pastime. We could talk for
in this book you hear many more of the discussions which went on. But I want to summarize and point something out which is very important for us to understand why this Leela has such a supreme place in Krishna's pastimes. It is because all the devotees were assembled and simultaneously able to exchange their rasa with Krishna. For instance, when Krishna saw Srimati Radharani, he started to become enveloped in bliss and trembled and perspired profusely. The cowherd men, who were more in a parental mood, thought, well, Krishna, he must be tired. And they, in order to help him in their parental mood, they began to poke their sticks up to hold Giriraj and help Krishna. Amongst his friends who were in the Sakya Rasa, there was Madhu Mangal and others who just, you know, were with Krishna. And what they do is they make fun all the time and laugh and tell jokes. So Krishna was laughing about the jokes of his friends. Intimate friends were there, like Subal, who were not so much in the Hasya Rasa, and they continuously enthused Krishna and encouraged him. You can do it. You can do it. It's not very heavy for you. You can do it. You know, they were like cheerleaders for him, you know. And his servants, like Raktak and Patrak, they're busying themselves with services, like they pressed Krishna's arms and legs to give him relief and served him with affection. Only Mother Yashoda was overcome with parental affection to a degree that she felt sad, very sad, to see Krishna not moving. She kept on bringing first-class prasadam to strengthen him. And she said, "Oh my darling Damodar, please stop playing your melodious murali. That flute playing will not fill your tummy. Just eat now this nice sweet which mother has made for you." I want to come to a summary. In actual fact, Kavikarnapur said there were two storms raging on. One storm was a storm of rain and wind, and the other was a storm of affection. I'm sometimes trying to write poetry, but it's not good at all. But the idea might be good, because it's a stolen idea, so it doesn't come from me. When will the affection for you, my Lord, become like a storm, a rainstorm, which will bring the rainwater of tears into my eyes? When will that rage in my heart like a rainstorm, that affection? So that affection, that storm was going on. Let us describe the first storm to understand the second storm. One storm was above Giriraj. There were ominous. Ominous is a word which means like they forebode ill, you know, ill foreboding, you know, clouds, you know, ominous. Dark clouds loaded with rain and fearsome thunderbolts. Occasionally there were lightning bolts, but under Giriraj was the Mukunda cloud. His complexion was like that of a dark storm cloud. The peacock feather on his crown looked like a first-class rainbow. And the stream of Krishna's beauty, which flooded all the Brijbasis, looked like constant rain. The beautiful gopis looked like, what is the English word? Like steady streaks of lightning. The only difference was that in that rainstorm above Giriraj, there was no sun. But in the storm of love under Giriraj, there was Krishna's Kustuba jewel on his chest, which illuminated the whole scene in a beautiful color. A better sun was there. Hare Krishna. For now, we will put this katha to rest. Tomorrow, we will hear how Krishna's medicine worked on Indra. Remember, he wanted to relieve the mountain of pride, which crushed Indra. He wanted to relieve Indra from this. How did this happen? It's very, very interesting and very therapeutical to hear this. I request you now to take your flowers. Just there must be somewhere. May I ask? Actually, it's not yet time. I request you to quickly find your neighbor. Just anyone, because you will need to do a little manaha and prepare your nididhyasana. Remember, I think they are still there. The three steps are there, Shravana. Yes, you have heard now, but this is incomplete. You must now reflect, and I will give you a very beautiful task which will make your heart happy. Who has not found a neighbor, please look around. There may be someone. Then you can join just any group. By the way, I understand. It was not intended that you leave now. This is very important. We are not just hearing. We are reflecting and meditating, no? If you have to go to the bathroom, you please do, but this is important. It's not, oh yes, now comes this new age stuff. No, it's not. It's Upanishadic tradition. This is how you learn something. If you don't do it, it doesn't go deep. So, are you ready? Yeah. It's difficult to switch from one mode to another mode. I will help you a little. You have a little time. Please discuss with your neighbor what struck you in this pastime, or is what sticks with you. Is there something which you liked especially? Please start now. You have only 3 minutes for this. You need to be a little concentrated. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. I'm very sorry. Maybe this is the best part for all of us. I just want you to go quickly through these two steps so that you can learn how to make Krishna's pastime stay in your mind for a longer time so that you can think about Krishna outside of the katha. The next question is, was there anything in the pastime which you wish, or in what you have heard, maybe in the beginning when you heard about how to make the hearing more efficient, was there anything which you can implement, which you can take, in other words, with you, and which you can meditate about in your life? This is a little bit more difficult, I know, but you are all pandits and experts in devotional service. You will find something. Krishna. I'm aware that this is most probably not enough time for this. Please forgive me. Time is also there, and we really want to listen to Burijan Prabhu's for sure excellent presentation, and want to honor the pause and all of that. So my point our point here is that these three steps, I request you really to do this. We will do this only briefly because of lack of time here, but you can take this in your life. I just heard a report from Russia. There was a seminar on where these three steps were introduced to the devotees, and they have built now groups of in their neighborhoods, and they do this with sacred text. They read, and then they hear, they reflect, and then they see what they can apply from it. Or, if there's nothing to apply, they just deeply meditate about it. Nididhyasan means really to digest, and that is done by either applying or deeply meditating about it. Huh? So, we will now, please now, you all should have flowers, am I correct? Who has no flowers? Good, you will need flowers. Where are flowers, Yamasaki? I think Atul Krishna Prabhu was in charge of this. Atul Krishna, are you there? Yes, do you have more flowers? Well, that would just. Can you just raise your hands, please? And Atul Krishna will come and give you flowers, and Julia. Just keep your hands up. The flowers will come to you. We will end our session now by singing, and at one stage, there will be towards the end, I will request all of you to go forward and to the edge of this pandal. There is this, you know, where the carpet is, and then take the flowers which you have, which you hopefully get. Those who still need flowers, others should be charitable and give flowers to them. And then you should offer them to Vrajmohan. You can take from me a few flowers. You should offer them to Giriraj. You offer by this, or put it in both hands like in Pushpanjali, like this, and then you throw them to Giriraj, in the direction of Giriraj. That's the best we can do. But it's not just a throwing exercise. That we could do in watching athletic sports. It's more like offering a prayer to Giriraj, who protected his devotees so wonderfully that they were not only protected from all that fear, you know, that the Lord of the universe was up against them, but they became so blissful. By it is described, the whole 7 days passed for the Brijbasis, 7 days and seven nights, like one gutika. Gutika is either 28 minutes or 46 minutes. I will tell you tomorrow. A short amount of time, because they were just so enlivened by the storm, the storm of love, the love storm which went on. So we will just sing and briefly, and then I will request you and tell you, move forward and guide you. Hare Krishna. Can we go a little higher? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Kindly now move with the flowers towards Giriraj, and then when you all are standing, we will all perform one great Giriraj puja by just lovingly throwing the flowers in his direction. Maybe he will stretch out his hands and catch them. You can offer your flowers by taking them in your cupped hands and then making 3 or 7 or whatever circular movements towards Giriraj. And we will do this while we sing. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Rama, Ibo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Everybody please sing Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Jaya Giri Rajaya Giri Rajaya Giri Rajaya Giri Jaya Radha Shyam Sundar Radha Shyam Sundar Radha Jai Sita Jai Sita Jai
So, Hare Krishna. Thank you all very much for attending this session. We have now a pause of 17 minutes. I'm very sorry. I will learn to be a little bit more concise. Please be here at 12:30 sharp for the next presentation. Hare Krishna.